goodness.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to do something a little crazy today. And I'm going to play a game in a couple minutes. And the game is kind of a version of tag. It's the version of tag where if I'm it, come here, Mikey. And I like to pick on Mikey for some reason because he's game for it. And if I'm person it and I'm running around and I tag Mikey, and suddenly now Mikey is also it with me. You play this game, and now both of us are running around, and he gets to tag somebody, and I get to tag somebody. Oh, yeah. And now they're it with us. We just, like, doubled, didn't we? And it just goes and goes and goes. And then it just boils down really quick. There's one person running around frantic and trying to get away from everybody else, and it's a great game. How many of you have ever played that version of tag? How many of you were too embarrassed to raise your hand? I love it. Yeah, nobody raised their hand except for Jeff. So it's so funny. So later on, we're going to play that. But before I get to that, I want you to turn to John chapter 17, and we're going to read two sections of Scripture. We're going to read two sections of Scripture. I'm going to call this message in this series of being in this world but not of it, I'm going to call this message Space Invaders. Space Invaders. The reason I'm going to call it Space Invaders is because if we're really not of this world, but we're here, we're in it, what's the point? What's the reason? Well, the reason is very clear. You look to the original alien. You look to the original one that was sent here. He wasn't from here. He came here. Jesus came here, sent. And what was his purpose? Why was he here on this earth and spending all the time that he spent here? Well, he wanted to invade our space. He wanted to invade your space. And then he left, but he put his spirit inside his people, and he basically said, now what I was sent to do, I wasn't from this world but came to this world to do this. Now you consider yourself not from this world anymore, but I'm sending you to be space invaders. That's what God's point is. He wants us to be space invaders on this earth. We are clearly not from here anymore. If you're a believer, your home is somewhere else. But you're still living here. So what do you do in the meantime? Amen. So John chapter 16, we're going to read a few verses. First verse is 28, and then we'll go to John chapter 17, and we're going to read a few verses there. John chapter 16, verse 28. Who's got it right there? You got it there, Mikey? You got it there, Abby? Holler it out really loud, Abby.
I came from the Father, entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father.
How many of you heard that? That basically says that I believe in Ben's paraphrased version of that verse, Jesus is an alien. I'm kind of teasing, but he obviously just said, I've come from another place, and I'm here, and I'm going back to it. Now, I just want you to think about how weird that statement would be if Trish said it. Hi, guys. I'm here at Visible Church today, and I'm going to tell you that I've come from another planet. Another place. You've never seen it or heard of it, but I'm from there. My Father sent me, and I'm here, and I'm going back to it. We would have her committed. We really would, wouldn't we? We'd say, hey, that's great. Come with me on the, and we'll go find the mothership. It's over there next to the Brown County Detention Center, and we're gonna help you find the mothership. You know, we would think she's nuts, and rightly so, because that is nuts. But Jesus actually said something similar to that. How many people listening to him at that moment went, kook, crazy. Let's go back to the Jewish people. It's much more normal. Let's go there. I'm not listening to a coconut over there anymore. He just said he came from another place and he's going back to that other place. That had to have been the weirdest statement for some of those people. They've never heard people talk like that. How many people talk like that? Maybe people who think they're the savior of the world, God. It's pretty interesting. Now let's skip ahead and let's look through chapter 17. There are other statements that I find just as absurd. Here's some of the other statements. In chapter 17, what does verse 4 say? Who's got that one? Verse 4. Go for it.
I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work
So there's a weird statement here. He's saying basically to the Father who sent him, we'll say the mothership, I have accomplished the work that you've sent me to earth to do. I don't know if that strikes you funny. We read it in the Bible and we just pass it off. But if any of you told your friends, I have a job that I've been sent here to do. When I accomplish it, I will leave the earth. Most of you would be laughed at. They wouldn't take you seriously. But Jesus said this.
I've been sent with a mission. I'm on a mission from God.
What movie is that from? Shame on all of you. So, where are our sunglasses? And it was in unison. Everybody goes, Blues Brothers. That is so funny. Oh my goodness. We are simpatico. All right, so we are on a mission from God. That's basically what he says. Now let's go ahead to verse 5. What does verse 5 say? Anybody? Go for it, Troy. I think that just sounded funny too. Because he puts on radio voice. Now glorify me with that. And I can't do it. I can't do it that well. I love it. So he's like, glorify me. And what did he just say? He basically said, before everybody existed, I existed. I think if somebody said that today, we said, okay, let's not waste time taking him to the loony bin. Let's just like off him right now. We don't want this to spread anywhere on the planet. That's the weirdness of his statements.
I've come from another place. I've come from another place and I'm on a mission from God. I've come from another place. I'm going to go back because I was here before you were here.
What? He really is an alien. That's what people are thinking if they listen to this. And this is just in a short amount of time. Okay, now there's just a couple more verses. You're getting an insight into what happens when I read the Bible. When I read the Bible, I think of science fiction sometimes and space invaders and movies like this. I just couldn't help but think like this. So here in verse 15, skip ahead to it. And what does it say in verse 15? Anybody? Trish?
I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
Whoa. This is crazy. Can you imagine if you follow Jesus for a few years and then he starts talking like this in public and he says, basically, I'm from another place. And then he points at you, his faithful disciple, and he says, and they're from another place. Aunt so-and-so watched you grow up. She's like, no, he's not. He's from Nazareth, just like you. You're not an alien. Neither is you guys are crazy. And they're watching this and he basically says, they're from another place too. And I don't want to take them out of the world. I want to protect them from the evil one. I'm listening to this thinking, this is all a comic book, if they had comic books back then. It's just too weird. And yet that's what now we're included. So in verse 16, it says, my disciples are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And he just clarifies it even more. Now, if you're a believer, you're kook too. You're a wacko. You really is. You just is. Because you're following somebody from another planet. And now you believe you're from another planet, another place. Look, John's already feeling uncomfortable. He goes, well, actually, I don't feel like an alien. I'm not really an alien. I'm like a teacher. I'm a teacher. We are strange, but we're teachers. We're very normal. But no, as a believer, this is in part what you're agreeing to. This is the package. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're going to be viewed as strange. You are going to be the person who sticks out. Why? Because you are no longer from this place. Your DNA and everything about you has been changed. You're a brand new creation in Christ. That's what Colossians 3 even tells us. Someday, when our leader returns, this could be a movie, a science movie. When our leader returns and takes us all with him, with a tractor beam. I don't know. I mean, it just feels so absurd. You and I will see what we really are. We will see, if we're still alive, we will see that glorified body. And everything will be no longer just words and imagination. It will be a reality. You will be able to look at it, touch, see all of that. Everything will be proved true in that time. Until then, we just have to take it on faith, don't we? We just have to believe it, and it's pretty hard sometimes. But here's where we get to the point of this message then. If we're here for a while, and we're not of this world, but Jesus was sent, here's what it says in verse 18. It says, "You have sent me into the world, and I have sent them, my disciples, into the world." I like how that says it right there. I think that's the NASB. It says, "As you've sent me into the world." In the same way that God the Father has sent Jesus, the only begotten Son, the only incarnate form or picture of God, as he sent Jesus into the earth, that same process, he is now saying, "I'm sending you like that. I want to send you to the world." This is a great concept, and it's hopefully not too complicated, but if we sink our teeth into it and sink our minds into it, it will give us a sense of purpose that is, it's hard to find in any other way. It is the greatest purpose. It gives meaning to every moment of your life and to every relationship in your life. When you realize you've been sent to this world in the same way that Jesus came, you will have a greater purpose than a job, than just living and acquiring things or being happy or whatever it is that we can go for in this world. You have a higher purpose, and it just fills you with joy and confidence in every phase of your life. People are looking for this purpose. People are looking for it. And when they don't find it in the world, they are disappointed and they're frustrated. And so it's you and I that can share this good hope, and we can share this news. We can give people a purpose even. In sharing the gospel, people find this purpose, and it cures a lot of the ills that are in mankind. Maybe the person no longer has to go to the bar to self-medicate. Why? Because they no longer feel that gnawing, nagging anxiety in them, because they're now suddenly filled with purpose. They're no longer looking for a new relationship to kind of numb the pain. They're actually in the greatest relationship of all. And now they even have a purpose and a meaning in it. And there's settledness. There's peace in their life. Why? Because they found Christ and they found their purpose in life. I think it's important. So, here's the game. Mikey, I'm picking on you too. All right. So, I want anybody that feels like they're not going to break a hip, or, you know, hurt somebody, I'd like you to just stand with me for a second. Those of you that don't want to play, that's okay. You can just be tagged right where you're sitting. All right? This is corny. Now, this is tough. I know you have never done this in a church. If you have, don't tell me about it, because I feel like this is unique. This is it. And if this makes you feel silly and stupid, that's okay. You've felt that way other times in life. It's just one other time. Just put it in the big box of all the times where you felt silly. And here's the challenge. I want you to think of this silly game, but I want you to see the spiritual truth in it. I'm going to represent, for the start of this game, I'm going to represent Jesus. Jesus was sent to the earth so that he could call people out of this world and that they would be his disciples, and they would then be sent likewise to do it. And he continues to do this by his Holy Spirit. He's drawing people, but not just by the Holy Spirit working by itself. He's working through you. And as the visible church, you have to be God's hands and feet. This is why you're here. So on the count of three, I'm going to tag someone, and then you're going to be it with me. And then your job is simply to tag someone else. Now, if you're tagged, I want you to go, "Ah!" really quick, so that someone knows that you've been tagged. Okay, that's it. You just need to do a little squeal. We'll call it a Pentecostal shout from when I was growing up. When the Spirit touches you, you go, "Woohoo!" like that. But so that's all you're doing. You go, "Ah!" like that, all right? And there is no bass, just in case you're thinking, "Well, where's bass?" There is no bass. You can't be like, "I'm in the children's room. You can't tag me." That's it. That's it. And lock the door, Troy. Nobody can escape to the parking lot. Okay. On the count of three. Wait, do we have any like tag music? I didn't think this through. This would be. Oh, wait a minute. No, I know. There is something. There is something that I'm about to do. Here it goes. I like this. This is Troy's favorite music. Every time it seems he starts this, I love it. Here it goes. Let's see if we got it. All right, that's the music right there. This is the drum beat for evangelism, evidently. All right, on the count of three, we're going to evangelize the little world called Visible Church, and this will make you feel stupid and silly, but you will never forget this service. You may never come back, but you will never forget this service. On the count of three, count it with me. One, two, three. Somebody's videotaping this because you guys look like charismaniacs right now. I'm telling you. Does everybody got? If you're got, say praise the Lord. All right. Do you see anybody that's not been got? Oh, my goodness. I just want you to think about this. In less than a minute, we evangelized the entire world. We just did that. That's what it's like. Now you can sit down. If you need your inhaler, now's the time to pull it out and be like, that's good. Oh, the Lord's really stressing my heart out. You know, so, but this is just a taste of what retirement's going to be like. This is a taste of retirement's going to be like. That's it right there. And so now my challenge is this. If you really have been touched by the Lord, you can't contain what God wants to do through your life. I want to tell you a story of Charles Finney. How many know the name? They call him the Prince of Evangelists. This is a man who lived, really, his ministry spanned two centuries. So towards the last, like 1850, 1851 through 1857, basically 10 years of hardcore evangelism in upstate New York, all the way leading him to eventually where he landed in Ohio, Oberlin, Ohio, where he started a college with a bunch of other people there. But this man was in study to be a lawyer. That's what he wanted to be. He wanted to be a lawyer and to make good money and be a good lawyer. And he was not a Christian. He was not a believer by any stretch of the imagination. His family was not believers. They didn't read the Bible or go to church or anything like that. And this was prior to the Civil War. This is just in the achings of the war with even Britain and all of that. So there's so many things that were going on in this country at that time, but God was wanting to do something spiritually. And this is how it led up to what is referred to as the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening of God's presence. And so from 1850s all the way through to early part of the 1900s, this is how it started for Charles. Suddenly, he began to read his Bible. I want to warn you right now. Don't you start reading your Bible more. You start reading that Bible more, you may get on fire. You might start actually believing something in it and really get inspired. And then It's dangerous. It's like kerosene on wood. You may not be able to contain what God starts to speak to you. And that's exactly what happened to Charles Finney. He began to read the Bible. And in that phase of New York, there was a bunch of Calvinistic doctrine. And that means fatalistic ideologies where, well, the Lord is either going to save you and he's predestined it or he's not going to save you. And that was very fatalistic. And so it was hard on some people's faith, especially when you read the Bible. And Charles Finney felt that way. He said, what do you mean the cross only paid for a certain elect few? Jesus said he came so that none would perish. He wants the whole world to be saved. He's not just picked a handful. He wants everybody, my neighbors, my family. And so he began to have this in his soul. I want to see people saved. That's what I read in the Bible, but he wasn't hearing it in the doctrines that were being taught. Good churches, but just not teaching really the full Bible. So that began to sit wrong with him, and it grew. Next thing you know, he stops pursuing the law career and he begins prayer times with the Lord. He didn't even know that's what he was doing. He was walking. He was talking with the Lord. He was embarrassed to have anybody know that he would pray. So he would intentionally go so far out in the woods that nobody would ever hear him. He would hide in the most discreet places so that nobody would make the mistake of actually hearing him pray. And in those times, he would start to just wrestle with the Lord. God, why? I want to see people saved. And your Bible says this and stuff like that. He still hadn't committed his life to the Lord yet. He just started reading the Bible, and just the logic involved began to stir him to something. Oh, but then, on one day, after a church service, he went back on his own and he said, God, I feel like my life is yours. And he began to say, I give my life to you. I give my life to you. And when he gave his life to Christ, he said in that moment, it was like this warm bath of God's presence came over him. You can read his autobiography. He wrote this and he was very flamboyant and very passionate. And it was like he said the Spirit of God overtook him in such a way he didn't know what to do and he didn't know how to contain it. And so then he just said, well, I've got to start telling people. And he did that very day. He began and he started just like we did tag. He went over and he tagged one guy and he said, hey, this is what the Lord says about you. And that man did this. He was just a random man on the street. He just bowed his head and didn't really respond, like he was offended, walked away. And he couldn't forget the words that Charles Finney said to that first tag. And he couldn't forget it. And that night he gave his life to Christ. Charles Finney wasn't even around him anymore. This passion grew. It didn't stop with just that. It grew and it took on more and more form. He began studying his Bible more and more. And then here's some of the testimonies I can't help but share because they're so awesome. This prince of evangelism, he was there near New York, upstate New York, and he was doing his ministry all around in this particular area. And he was invited to an unknown town. He'd never been. It was a really small town. And some guy there said, hey, we hear that you're preaching and people are just giving themselves to the Lord. And he goes, this is amazing. And he said, well, yeah. He said, well, come here and talk to us. And so he showed up to this church. He's not officially recognized by any presbytery or any, you know, church structure, but he shows up to this little church. He starts praying early in the morning when he gets there. He doesn't know the town or anybody in it. And it's a small town. And when it's time for him to share, he stands up and this is what he says. The Lord has declared that all of you need to get out of Sodom. You need to get out of Sodom and you need to turn your life over to Christ and you need to escape the coming doom and the judge. I mean, he's preaching in essence hellfire and brimstone, and he's basically saying, this is what's going to happen right here. And just like Lot had to escape, you better escape. And he said, while I'm preaching it, everyone in the audience is looking like, and then they look at each other and they're looking at him and they're looking at each other. What he did not realize is that that town was called Sodom. And then one man stood up and began to wail and cry at such a loud way, he thought something was wrong, like he was going to come and attack him. And Charles thought, I better get my exit strategy out. The man that stood up and started to break and scream and cry, his name was actually Lot. So I look at this and I go, what? No. And then in that moment, every single soul in that town came to know Christ and gave themselves so passionately to the Lord that it began a great revival. So much so that another businessman in a few other towns away, he ran a mill and he had hundreds of people working at this mill. And he invited this Charles Finney, who was tagging so many people. He said, come bring this fire. There's this fire in what you're doing. And come and talk to us. The problem was, the guy who run the mill, he wasn't even a saved person. He didn't even believe in Jesus. He wasn't even going to church. He just knew something interesting was happening and he thought he'd bring him over to the mill. So then Charles Finney comes over to the mill, and here's the testimony of two of the workers, how it started. Two workers were doing something with some sewing and some seamstress work there at the mill, and one of the ladies looks up and sees this man coming towards him. It was Charles. And she began to shake. And she looked at her friend, and they both noticed the shaking, and this man just was coming towards him. just coming towards the mill. And she began to shake more and more. By the time Charles Finney got to this lady, she was shaking uncontrollably. And it was under the power of the Holy Spirit. It was this weird sense of just shaking, and they didn't know what to do. And so Charles just put his hand on her, and he declared that God loved her and that she was to give her life to him. And she agreed and gave her life to Christ. And in that moment, the guy who ran the mill stopped the mill. He said, "This is wild. Stop the mill. Stop the mill. All the workers, you're off of work." It'd be like one of these paper companies just coming in and the guy just totally being on fire with the Lord. He said, "No more paperwork today." And he called, this mill worker called everybody to the mule house. I have no idea what in the world a mule house is. But he called all the workers to the mule house. And he said, "Charles, get in here." And on that day, all but a handful of the entire mill worker's crew gave their life to Christ. And the Holy Spirit fell on them in such power. Entire towns, entire cities, entire businesses were being saved in an instant. One particular bar owner basically ran a town. He was so vile and so nasty that no one expected him to ever get saved. But during a church service, one of the men that worked with Brother Finney was praying for these souls, and this guy woke up in the middle of the night, was so plagued and convicted over his life. He walked into the church service on a Sunday. He was shaking and sweating, and he asked Charles Finney, "Could I stand and share?" And he looked at him and said, "Sure." So then this barkeep stood up in front of the entire congregation, and he said, "I've lived a life that is sinful and selfish in this, but the Holy Spirit is moving in my heart. I feel God, and he's told me to live my life to him." And he just begins to just talk like this, and he just totally convicts the whole crowd. Town just gets saved. This is what happened back in the most preliminary things of the Great Awakening. Why do I say this to you? What God wants to do through you is not going to happen because you and I have a good business plan. And we plan how to do church or how to do life. That's not what anybody needs. Nobody needs another business plan. But every person I've ever met needs something. They need the reality of God's presence in their life. Because without God in their life, they have no hope in this world. They have no hope in this world. Jesus said he came to this world in John 3:16 and verse 17. He came to this world sent by God because God loves this world. God sent Jesus because he loves this world. And if you are going to be sent today, you have to love this world in that way. You can't love it in the other ways we've talked, being so caught up with the world that you're not thinking about God. But you have to love the unlovely. You have to love the sinner. You have to love people that don't know Jesus, just right where they're at. They may curse like sailors. They may be tatted up one side and the other. They may beat each other up there. I don't know what they do. They do whatever they do. But you better love them and you better have compassion for them. Why? Because that's the heart of the Father. He sent Jesus to the world to save me, to save you. He loved us that much. But then in 17 of John chapter 3, verse 16 and then 17, he said, and the reason he came was not to condemn the world, but to save it, to rescue the world. So why did Jesus come? He came to save mankind. And why are you and I here today? Suck air? Study the Bible so we can have better families maybe, or a better job or something like that? No, those might be good things. I'm not dissing that. But I tell you, you're sent just like Jesus is sent. And so God is asking for you to let that fire of the Holy Spirit fill you in such a way that you can be his witness in this world. You may think you can't, but I'm a firm believer that when God gets a hold of you, he never lets go, and you do things you would have never been able to do on your own. Some of you have been holding back in your testimony and your witness, and I'll tell you the reason why. Fears, insecurities, timidity. You've never done it before, but you know you're an alien. You're an alien in this world. You're not like anybody else on this planet. You're God's kid. And what you need to realize is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will do things that no one else could do. And what that looks like is just like Charles Finney. You'll see miracles. You'll see all kinds of things that prove that God is real. Have you ever seen God prove that he's real? That his message of salvation is real and you could trust it? Because I don't want to be disappointed by promises that aren't kept. How many of you have ever been disappointed by promises that aren't kept? Usually at 2 o'clock in the morning when they say, buy this and then this and this, it'll save your world, you know? And you buy that and you realize it breaks and it's junk. And there's promises in relationships where people say, I promise to love you forever, and then they don't. There's so many disappointments in this life, but don't be confused. God doesn't disappoint. He really doesn't disappoint. So what do you do with a message like this? You don't do it in your own strength. You must be sent and filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus sent his disciples, there's a couple times particularly that we see this. There was a time where he had 70 people. That's, we'll say, about this size. So say you're all the disciples of Jesus, and Jesus is talking to you one day, and he says, okay, today I want to send you. I want to send you in pairs. That's just like you guys in this room. I'll pair you up, and I'm going to say, I'm going to send you all over the place. Wherever you go, I want you to testify of me. I want you to set people free. I want you to heal the sick. You may even raise the dead. You might cast out demons from people, but you're going to see people's lives changed because heaven invaded earth and you're the one that's doing it. And he breathed his Holy Spirit on them so that they would have power to do those things. Until that time, they had knowledge, but they didn't have that power and authority to do it, to witness. Church, you must yield to the influence of the Holy Spirit if you're going to be this kind of a person. I don't know if everybody heard me. You got to learn what it's like to yield to the Holy Spirit. The still small voice of the Holy Spirit when he speaks. Go here, do this, say this, don't do that, stop this, start this. He speaks all the time, but you have to be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit fills you, you begin to do the things that God wants to do through you, and you change the world. That's really what happens. And you will see things that you never thought you'd see. You'll see people set free. You'll see miracles. Bob, you'll see miracles. You'll see people healed and set free in so many ways. Young people, you will see all kinds of things take place. You might be the one person that stands up suddenly in a big crowd and proclaims the gospel message. You would have never thought yourself able to do that because maybe you're a timid individual, but because of the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to be a witness. This is what's on my heart, and I feel like it's so timely because we have a crew of a total of 18 people. We're going to go serve at the Dream Center, and the entire ministry of the Dream Center is to do what this message is saying. I joked with Bob earlier. I said, isn't it kind of funny? We're driving all the way to St. Louis to do what we can actually do right here, too. We could do it right here, but hey, it's good to go to someplace else and do it. Maybe we'll just get so addicted to it there in St. Louis, we'll just do it here too. And we're going to spread the good news, the hope of Jesus Christ, but we're going to love people and we're going to serve people. And we're going to learn that in such a real way. And the prayer is that we would be full of the Holy Spirit and used. Be sent. And so I'd like those that are going on the mission trip, we're going to pray for them and we're going to pray for everybody else and we're going to end the service today because we got to hit the road. And you guys that aren't going with us on the mission trip, you're being sent right here in Green Bay. So on Sunday, how are you going to make good use of your time on earth? Talk about Jesus somehow. Love the Lord, love people, and just be that light. So those of you going on the mission trip, would you come down here and we're going to pray for you this morning. Let's see, who else is... Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Oh, I'm coming down there, man. I'm coming down there. Look at this. It's kind of funny, but it's an all-girl missions team, isn't it? With Brian and Caleb. And look, they just couldn't tolerate it, so they had to go in advance. So pray for me because I'm going to be in the van with all those girls. So this is my life, isn't it? All right. Well, let's stretch a hand and let's pray for these guys. And after we get done with this, you guys will be dismissed. And if you need anything at all today, if you want prayer for anything special, come down. We'll stay down here. There'll be some elders and some leaders, and we'd want to pray with you too. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, but you'd want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Evidence is in your life. Then come on down. We'll pray with you. Amen. So, Mikey, would you pray over everybody?
Father God, thank you for giving us such a privilege to go out and do what you've given us to do, what you've go throughout the world and praise your good news. Let the people know who you are. Let the show the people your love and who you are, Father God. Father God, I pray such a blessing and an anointing over each and every one of these people that are going on this trip, Father God. I pray safe travels. I pray you surround them with angels to warn their behalf, Father God. No weapon formed against them shall prosper, Father God. I pray wherever they go, every step they take a step towards you, Father God. I pray that all these people that will witness the awesome might of your glory will come to know you, Father God. I pray the moment we shake a hand or we just say hi, people know that we're of you, Father God. Thank you so much for giving this privilege, Father God. I pray for this trip to go so amazing, Father God. Thank you for all the salvations that are going to come from this trip. Thank you for all the love that we're going to give throughout this trip, Father God. And thank you for the fun that's going to come from this trip, Father God. Father God, I pray this is such a blessing over this trip. In your name we pray, amen.
All right, you guys be blessed, and you better hug your kids. For a while. The Lord, oh bless the Lord, for my sin was black as night. Oh bless his name.